This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 2nd, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. For libertarians, Russell Roberts says it's an important time to think about first principles. Given the financial crisis, a recession, and the government's response, he predicts a United States in which there is a lot more top-downing than bottom-upping in the economy. His new book, The Price of Everything, A Parable of Possibility and Prosperity, explores what is seen and unseen within our prosperity and the politics that surround economic reality. We spoke following a forum for the book yesterday. Where are people being misled the most? What insight is most missing from the current public talk about finance, the economy, and the government's proper role in it?
Well, one of the narratives that's emerged in the current mess is that this whole thing was Wall Street's fault, it was greed run amok, government didn't do its job regulating Wall Street. And my worry is that we're going to try to create a new financial order from the top down, which is going to be extremely difficult to do well without unintended consequences. This problem was not caused by deregulation. You can always argue we should have regulated more. And it's always a possibility that some regulation could have been put in place ex ante that might have saved us from this meltdown. So I think there's always going to be this tendency to try to figure out what that might have been. And we'll try to prevent the next crisis that was like this one, which we'll probably be able to do. What we won't see is the unobserved costs of those kind of solutions. And so what I'm worried about is killing the goose that lays the golden eggs that will ruin the environment for risk-taking.
In the media right now, the terms financial crisis and economic crisis are used quite often synonymously, even by people in the financial reporting that really ought to know better. What's missing from how media communicates to people about these complicated economic issues?
Well, I cut the Gordian knot there by saying it's a mess. And that way I don't put the word financial or economic or stock market in front of them. I think part of the confusion is that those things are related. The stock market, the financial system, and the real side of the economy are related. It's sometimes hard to understand how they're related. And I think that's where the sloppiness comes in. The fact that the stock market goes down isn't in and of its or up isn't in and of itself a good or a bad thing. It's a signal. Of course, personally, we have our own individual stakes in it, many of us. So we are very interested in that. But that is not the real economy. And similar, it's a measure of the real economy, but it's not the real economy itself. The stock market could go down, and the real economy could do well for a long time, and vice versa. So. Similarly, the financial system is in crisis right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that the real side of the economy is going to collapse. But if the financial system stays tangled up and ineffective for long enough, it will start to have real side effects. So I think that's the worry. And keeping those things straight, I think, is very useful.
In reading this book and The Invisible Heart, I find that you make an honest attempt to cultivate sympathy on the part of a reader who may be inclined to disagree with the case that you're making. How do you approach characters in a way that you find is fundamentally fair, but is able to still cultivate that kind of sympathy?
Well, you know, all of my books, I've written three books, they're all dialogues at heart. The question is, how much plot do I put around them and to make it more interesting that I'm able to use? Usually I want, in that dialogue, one of the characters is usually a skeptic. One's the economist or the more knowledgeable person. And I want the skeptic to ask the questions that my friends ask me when they're wondering why markets work or they're worried about some policy implication of something that I'm more, say, optimistic about. So I try to have my characters ask the questions that I face, and I try to come up with the best answers I can. But I certainly want them to have a voice, and I want them not just to ask the questions, but to make the case for the non-market-oriented viewpoint. Sometimes, you know, my mom once said, "How can you let that person say that? How can you write that?" And I said, "Well, first I said, wait till you finish the book." But secondly, those are what real people care about and are worried about. And if we don't answer those arguments or sometimes admit that we're wrong, we're not going to get the hearing that I think our ideas deserve. So I think it's really important to be intellectually honest and empathetic to the other side and give their voice a hearing. I think our voice with theirs comes out pretty well. So I'm not worried about hearing both sides. I think it's really important.
In general discussion then, among libertarians, you said we're in for some soul searching here at the forum. And as far as libertarians go in making arguments to people who are persuadable, where is the biggest failing? Where do libertarians tend to gloss over, particularly in this financial crisis, but more generally, where do they ultimately fail or don't care to make their case the best?
Well, I think the soul searching has to do with the interface between private activity and public activity. I think we need to be as honest as possible about when there are negative consequences of private decisions. They happen. My book's about emergent order, which is about order that occurs naturally. Not all emergent order is good. Traffic is lousy emergent order. It's orderly, but it's not pleasant. And the reason it works out that way is the feedback loops that work in other situations aren't present there in the case of traffic. And this, of course, the standard public solutions to that problem of widening the road or more public transportation don't work either. But I think it's really important to be honest about when things work and when they don't work and where things have costs. And the human side of private decisions is both positive and negative should be talked about, because I see my mission as an educational mission in helping people understand how markets work. They don't work perfectly. And to pretend that they do, which sometimes our side is prone to do, I think we hamper our case. Just to take an example from trade and international trade, the idea that NAFTA would, quote, create jobs, I think was absurd. Trade doesn't create or destroy jobs. In the aggregate, it changes the kind of jobs that we do as a nation. And I believe that's a good thing, the freedom to choose the type of job and the products you buy. That's extremely important. But to suggest that it's always going to be good and ignore the hardship that occasionally happens when people make choices that don't help every person is a recipe for disaster. So I think it's important to be intellectually honest about how markets work. And they work imperfectly. I think they work a lot more perfectly than government, but there's a lot of things government does that help make markets work better. We should be honest about that. Not an anarchist.
Russell Roberts is author of the new book, The Price of Everything, A Parable of Possibility and Prosperity. He's a professor of economics at George Mason University. He blogs at cafehayek.com and hosts the popular Econ Talk podcast. You can listen to the full book forum at our website, cato.org.